We're about to read a prayer of a woman called Hannah. She and her husband were very ordinary people. They didn't come from anywhere special. She had been unable to have any children, but she trusted the Lord God. In her pain, she turned to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord God heard her and graciously gave her a son. That was Hannah's response to the one true God. So our reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And if you want to follow it in the church Bibles, it's on page 272. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren have borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world."
Well, good morning, everyone. Let me pray as we keep 1 Samuel chapter 2 open in front of us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, the Bible. And so we ask that you would help us to listen to your word. Give us understanding so that we may love Jesus more, your son. In his name, amen. Amen. Well, I realize this presence now in the way. I'll kind of see you guys over there from above. Have you ever had a Christmas that has been a tad disappointing? A wee bit rubbish, just a bit underwhelming. For whatever reason, it didn't go the way that you expected. The turkey was undercooked. A pandemic ruined your plans. The present from a loved one was a bit naff. The family dynamics just didn't click. Welcome to a chalkling Christmas. You wait and you wait. You've planned and you've planned. And then when Christmas starts to unwrap, you realize that you are not the one in control. Now, for God's people, the earlier that we learn that we're not in control, the better. Because life can, and quite often does, unravel. And it will be painful, and it'll be hard. But those who patiently wait on the Lord will be victorious. Because he is the one true God who is always in charge. He's always in control, even when it really doesn't look like he's there. And Hannah is a great example of this belief. 1 Samuel chapter 2 is her prayer of praise as she responded to the Lord God and his amazing work. Because her life got flipped, turned upside down. The Lord had turned her sadness into joy. Here's the first thing that Hannah new. We're going to see it if I start to unwrap this rather beautifully wrapped present. Thank you, Sue Sharland. Here we go. If I lift up the first flap, we should be able to see something of Hannah's prayer. Here we go. Yep, that's a good reminder for me. It'll be up on the screen as well. It's also on your sheets if you want, do want to make notes. There is no one like the Lord. There is no one like the Lord. Let's remind ourselves of what Hannah said. Verse 1 says, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies." See, because of the Lord God, Hannah is now happy. She's filled with jubilant joy. And she uses this vivid picture of an animal to show her of how victorious she has become. Now, to show this, I realise that at Christmas, the perfect animal for this would be a reindeer. But we don't have a reindeer at home. So instead, we're going to use my boy's Triceratops, obviously. The well-known Christmas Triceratops. So here we go. A rather fine specimen, where's the camera, there we go, of a Triceratops. And its horns are kind of the main event, right, of a Triceratops. It is its power, its glory. And when triumphant in battle, the Triceratops raises its horns. It lifts them up high to show that it is victorious. And after the battle, the animal's mouth is wide open, ready to devour its prey, which I kind of guess is where the vegan Triceratops illustration kind of falls down. But Hannah uses this dramatic picture of an animal with its horns held up high to show of the complete reversal that the Lord had done. Here is a woman who had prayed in her pain and weakness. And yet the Lord God had changed everything in her life. And now, because of him, she delights. Verse 1, "Because I rejoice in your salvation." Here is Hannah's confident, joyful testimony. She is a sample of God's rescue for all of his people. And she rejoices because the Lord is her salvation. Now, salvation is a really big Bible word. It's a really important Bible word. It's a word that brings great joy to God's people. The Lord God is the one true God who delivers, who rescues, who saves his people from jeopardy and from misery. So for Hannah, the Lord had given her victory over her barrenness, over the ability not to have children. And that might seem a bit odd to us, that Hannah looks at this God-given baby called Samuel and she says, "This is how the Lord saves." And yet, isn't that exactly what we celebrate today at Christmas? God gave his people a baby. A baby who ultimately came to save his people from their sins, their rebellion against God. God rescues his people from all of their unfaithfulness. And so now, like Hannah, his people rejoice. They praise him. And there is no one like him, verse 2. Verse 2 says, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." So Hannah says the Lord is uniquely holy. He's perfectly good. And no one compares to him. And that there is no protection and no security from anywhere else. And nowhere else will we find goodness. Nowhere else will we find security. Nowhere else can we find salvation. And if our hopes and our confidence and our satisfaction are in anyone or anything else, then it'll just be a massive letdown. But not so in the Lord God, because there's no one like him. And it is he who saves a sinful people. So that's the first part of God's gift, is that he is the one and only. But there is a second point that we learn if we continue to open our gift. I realised getting Sue to wrap this present was a mistake because she's done it a bit too well. So here we go. Second flap. I realise it's hard to see, but it'll be up on the screen as well. The second thing that Hannah came to know is that there is one Lord and he rules. The one Lord who rules. Hannah was happy because she had come to understand how God runs his world. From the way the Lord God had reversed her own life, how he turned it all around, he gave her a radically different view of how this world works. So just listen in as we remind each other about what Hannah prayed about. Verse 3, talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. From Hannah's own experience, from her own circumstances and story, she knew exactly what proud and arrogant talk looked like. And pride and arrogance is pretending like we're the ones who know everything. We're the ones who run the world, who run our own lives. But if we're honest, we're not in control. We're not the Lord God who has all knowledge. It's been 2 and a bit years, and I still struggle to know what times to drop my kids off at school and what time to pick them up. And doesn't the pandemic show us? We don't know what's going to happen. So Hannah, she came to know that there is only one God and he is sovereign. He rules. And the way that he rules his world is completely topsy-turvy to what we would expect. To see what Hannah means, we're going to play a quick game. We're going to play a quick game. I've completely stolen this from Radio 1's quiz called Wrong'uns. So if I could invite Tom up to the front. Tom, if you stand by the lectern mic. And just to make Wrong'uns a bit more Christmassy, I've got you a hat. Just to be vaguely Christmassy. So, Tom, I'm going to ask you some quick-fire questions, and you need to answer incorrectly.
Excellent.
So, for example, what's your name?
Dave.
Good. Tell us something that is hot.
Cucumber.
What is a word that rhymes with joy?
Orange.
Name something that's found in a Christmas dinner.
Steam train.
Complete the lyric of this carol. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight for all the...
Hallelujah.
Name something that is strong.
Jono.
A very simple and now very embarrassing game to help us to see a seemingly upside down, back to front, topsy-turvy world where we think we know and yet we don't know the answer. And when we look around the world and we're tempted to think that everything is unraveling, well, the Lord God is perfectly in control. He knows what's best. It's he, Hannah says, who makes the strong weak. And it is he who is able to humble the arrogant and raise and lift up the humble. He blunts human power and understanding and gives strength to the weak. He is the one and only God who knows. He rules his world and he rules it well. And even raising the dead isn't difficult for the Lord, verse 6. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up from the poor, from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. See, don't we need Hannah's prayer and song as a reminder to each other that we are not in control? There is one God, There is no one like him because he rules the world. He brings the low and he exalts them high above their station. Power and weakness look completely different if we believe that the Lord God rules. And don't we see these verses so clearly when we look at Christmas? The Lord God, the one and only creator, ruler of the universe, who came as a baby, lying weak in a manger. And yet don't we see these verses even more clearly at Easter? God himself dying weak on a cross and placed in a tomb. God could not look weaker. And yet he is still the one true God who saves and is now risen and reigning because he alone rules. Well, we're going to join in with our next carol. Joining in to see how this topsy-turvy world in action as we see the words from the squalor of a borrowed stable to the risen Lord Jesus reigning forever. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the Lord's are the Lord's. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. See, I've really enjoyed unwrapping Hannah's praise prayer. To be reminded that there is no one like the Lord and that he alone rules. But how do we really know that he rules? Well, it'd be a shame if we didn't open the final bit of the present, wouldn't it? To see the highlight of Hannah's praise prayer. So if I open this up, let's turn to these guys. Can you pull out the present that's inside and put it on the table at the front? Oh, Josh is going mining. Good. Can you put it on the table now, Josh? And what have we got? We've got a crown. Yes, of course we've got a crown. If you put it on the table, thank you, boys. We've got the crown. Because the last thing that Hannah learned and pointed towards was there is one victorious king. There is one victorious king. We've seen this small glimpse into Hannah's own life. All that she had learned about the Lord God. And as she concludes her prayer, she has learned that the Lord God is the one who will be victorious. And those who patiently wait, trusting in him, will also be victorious. Verse 9, he will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. So the Lord God's faithful ones are those who will be victorious with him because they depend on his victory. And the wicked, those who rely on their own strength and might, well, they will be the ones who are silenced and cut off. We see how the Lord responds to proud and arrogant talk. Hannah is warning the reader. It is not wise to go against the Lord. Verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. See, the Lord's enemies will be utterly defeated. And hopefully this is helpful. Up on the stage we have some more props. So here we go. Here are a family of bears. So of course we've got baby bear. He's gonna sit. That's nice. We've got toddler bear sitting next to him. We've got, of course, Mummy Bear. But of course, you've then got Daddy Bear. It's not quite as big as the one in town, sadly, but church budget doesn't quite do that. Daddy Bear is so very good at protecting his family. He protects them from the cold, he provides them with food to eat. And like a good dad, when enemies come near and they threaten his family, he guards them, he defends them. Ultimately, if you oppose Daddy Bear in the animal kingdom, then you will die. And Hannah is saying that those who continue to patiently wait in the Lord, they find protection and comfort and satisfaction. But those who oppose the Lord God, those who don't trust him, Hannah says, you will be defeated. Again, it's another really strong picture from Hannah, isn't it? Those who patiently wait on his salvation are those who will win. It's not the powerful. It's not the wealthy. It's not the famous. It's not the popular. It's not the successful. It's not the comfortable. And see, don't we need to be reminded of what Hannah knew? That the Lord God offers salvation, and there is no one like him. So why would we ignore him? Why would we be tempted to forget him? And why would we want to miss out on his joy and security? If we come to him in faith, if we say sorry for our pride and our arrogance before it's too late, well, then we will be on the victorious side as the Lord's faithful, and we continue to wait and trust in him. Because at the end of verse 10, we see his power and his victory most clearly. Verse 10 ends with, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. How wonderful is it that Hannah finishes her prayer anticipating royalty? She is the first person in the Bible to speak of the Lord's anointed, that is the Christ or the Messiah, God's forever king. Truly remarkable words, because at this point in God's story, verse 9, the people weren't faithful. And verse 10, there was no king. And you've only got to look down at verse 12 and see how utterly worthless the leaders were. But the Lord, who raised Hannah's horn up high, will raise the victorious horn of his forever king. And Hannah's praise prayer is in anticipation of another woman's praise prayer. At the beginning of our time together this morning, we listened to that prayer of another woman. And it sounded an awfully lot like this prayer in 1 Samuel 2. Because Mary was learning what Hannah already knew. That there is no one like the Lord. He rules his world. And he will win. Like Hannah, Mary was given a son. But her son was to be the greatest king, whose kingdom will never, ever end. Whose kingdom would turn everything upside down. And so if you want to know who this king is, well then look to the victorious and exalted Jesus. And he will come again to judge. And so may God's faithful people rejoice, because he has saved us from being against him. He has saved us because the Lord is our salvation. And he has done this through his forever King, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Awesome Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you as Hannah did, and we thank you that there is none like you.
We praise you that you are the one who rules heaven and earth. Forgive us of our pride, our strength and our arrogance. And we thank you. We rejoice because you have given your people salvation through your everlasting King, Jesus. So please, Father, help us to wait and be faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.